welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for jump-starting your week with the Word of God this morning. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM, 10:30 of a morning. And so we want to say thank you very much. We're going to be talking about the Word of God today, about living in truth. Last week, I was listening to the radio, and someone said that there were people who accidentally told the truth. There were people who did not think that there was any consequence to lying, that people didn't, that it did not bother them, that they were being lied to, and so the rule of the day was just go ahead and lie. And folks, if that is the new rule of the day, it is time for a new day. It is time for a new week. It is time that we raised the value on the commodity of truth. If you can't do it on a societal level, at least let's do it on a personal level. Let's do it on a family level, a church level, and let's see where it goes from there. Truth is never, ever going to be devalued because of a lie. We need to esteem the value of truth higher again, elevate it. Truth always wins in the end. And so I don't think that this discussion on thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor, I don't think this is a topic that is out of time or out of step. I believe that this is a very now problem for America, where we've got people all across the spectrum of society not telling the truth. We need to get back to the truth, to the Word of God. And so right now we're looking at how we can protect ourselves against deception, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit. Last week we had talked about that there were people who were lying, even though they claimed to be spiritual voices. They were not representing the kingdom of God. And then we talked on Friday about not allowing ourselves to be deceived. Even though those spiritual voices may be speaking, it is our responsibility to verify and to reject the deception and embrace the truth. It's our responsibility. Today we're going to be talking about another topic, and that is, let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not deceive ourselves. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 37, Jeremiah chapter 37. And as you are writing that down or turning to that, I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. And I was talking with Brother Anderson a little over a week ago, and he said that the rain is really messing with the schedule of projects that they're able to do. You know, there was about a week there where it rained every day, and some days it rained multiple times every day. And when you're working with concrete, that's not good. When you've got to have the appropriate water to concrete, to sand, to rock, and lime, and all of that sort of stuff, when you've got to have the appropriate balance, it is not going to be conducive to working in a rainfall pattern. And so he was telling me, you know, if anybody's needing work, they need to call in advance, and they also need to understand that with everything that is going on right now, they're available, but they've also got projects in the pipeline. So if they can't get to you, they're going to be honest with you and tell you that either the job's too small or, you know, the time frame's not going to work out or whatever. But if you need a really good block or concrete company in the coming weeks, I encourage you to give Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So we're coming up on Labor Day this weekend. If my memory bank serves me correctly, it does. It's hard to believe. I mean, Labor Day cannot come any earlier than it does this year. And so if you're going away, I pray that you will remember to be safe, that you will stay alert to those on the roadways with you, or if you're going out on the waterways, make sure that you have life jackets for everybody. Stay safe. This is kind of the last official hurrah for summertime, and so we encourage you to be extra careful out there. School's already back in session, so for Brevard County, so it really isn't that big of a deal for us, other than it's a long weekend. I remember when I was in school, if Labor Day was on September 1st, we didn't start school until September the 2nd. If we started school early, it would have been the Monday before Labor Day. That was starting early, and then we still got out by the middle to latter part of May. So we really did get a 3-month vacation instead of like a 2-month vacation that they get nowadays. So I'm going to be thankful that I grew up in the time that I did. Okay. We're going to go to Jeremiah. I keep wanting to say Genesis this morning. I guess beginning a new week and my mouth's wanting to begin with Genesis, but we're going to Jeremiah, the 37th chapter. And let me begin reading with verse number 1. Now Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to that. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. It doesn't matter what someone has to say if you're not going to pay attention to them. So the king, the people who served the king, and the people of the land all were ignoring the words of God. That's not a plan for success. I just want to point that out. Verse number 3, and Zedekiah the king sent Jehu call, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, listen to this, they've been ignoring what God has had to say, and now they come in verse number 3, they say this to Jeremiah, pray now to the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Remember, they've asked for God to speak to them. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. Now, let me just tell you that recently they posted news that they had uncovered an archaeological dig proving that the Babylonians and the Chaldean army, as it's referred to here, they had found their arrowheads in an ash heap from when Jerusalem was burned. And so once again, archaeology comes and verifies the accounts that we find written in the Word of God. So I just want to throw that out there, because society tends to think that we checked our brains at the door when we became a Christian, but we really didn't. Rejecting the Word of God is foolishness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the king sends messengers to Jeremiah and say, pray to the Lord our God for us. And during this time, the Egyptians had come up as an ally of Judah, and they had come up to attack the Chaldeans and try and get them to withdraw from their attack on Jerusalem. And Jeremiah says, behold, Pharaoh's army has come up to help you, but they're going to return to Egypt, to their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come back. He says, do not deceive yourselves, in verse number 9. The people of Judah at that point in time were lying to themselves about the reality of their impending doom. They lied to themselves that their ally was going to be able to rescue them from the attacker that was besieging the city. And that just wasn't going to happen. I will tell you this, no human ally is ever going to be able to overpower God or thwart his plans. There was a reason. We had already talked about in Jeremiah chapter 29, there was a reason that Israel was carried off to Babylon. It really bothered Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, how can you use a more wicked people to punish your own covenant people who are not as wicked as the people that you are using to accomplish your plans? And God said, don't worry about that. I'm going to take care of the Babylonians as well. And so Habakkuk said, you know what? I'm just going to be patient. I'm going to watch. I'm going to let God be God. And I'm going to wait and see, this great plan that God has. And know it, Terry. I'm going to wait for it. Habakkuk is a great little book. I encourage you to study it whenever you get a chance. But so I will tell you this, it doesn't matter who your allies are, whether they're financial allies or whether they're military allies, if they're counseling allies, it doesn't matter what nature or what field your alliances may rise up. If they are trying to thwart God's plan, it is you and I cannot lie to ourselves. In actuality, the lie was not that they were telling themselves not only had to do with the reality of their impending doom, but they were lying to themselves about the nature of their relationship to God. Listen to what it says in verse number 2, but neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord. Now listen to what it says in verse 3. This is the words of the king. Pray now to the Lord our God for us. So they weren't listening, and they started asking Jeremiah to pray for him. Look, he's our God. He's our God. We see a very similar mindset in America whenever a catastrophe happens. Whenever there's something horrific that emerges out of the kingdom of darkness and there's great loss of life and trauma and terror, and people need to be consoled. All the while, we have been refusing to listen to God, and then all of a sudden something bad happens, and we say, why did this happen? God is our God. We're a Christian nation. Well, folks, if we're a Christian nation, we're going to be listening to the voice of God. We're going to be paying attention to the words of God. We're going to be living the words of God. We're going to be teaching the words of God to our children. It's time that we quit putting that responsibility of training up our children in the words of God upon someone else's shoulders. It's time that we said, I'm going to take this high and holy privilege that God has granted to me, and I'm going to fulfill it. I am going to teach my kids the goodness of God. So if we're going to be truthful with ourselves, we need to ask God, God, how is our relationship? How is our relationship? When you speak, am I listening? You know, my relationship with human beings is of such that if they're trying to communicate with me or I'm trying to communicate with them and one of the parties isn't listening, the party that is doing the speaking tends to be the one that brings attention to the fact that there's not listening that is going on. The Bible talks about that there would be a famine of the word of God, but it doesn't say a famine of the word being spoken. It says there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. And so we need to ask God, God, would you give us an assessment from heaven as to how our relationship is? And then God, would you speak in such a way that we will understand the reality of our heart? And so a few weeks ago, I was having some physical tests that were being done. And I got the lab work back. And it came back normal, not just in one category, but in every single category. It came back green flag, green flag, green flag, green flag, green flag. And there were a lot of different things that they were analyzing, and every one of them came back phenomenal. And I was very, very thankful. But you know what? We're not looking just for that for a snapshot. I'm looking for that to be the reality every day. That's the same way that we should be looking at our spiritual condition when we're assessing our relationship with God. God, how's my prayer time? How's my worship time? How's my Bible study? How's my church attendance? How's my giving, oh God? Are we good? Am I doing everything in obedience? How's my level of faithfulness? How's my level of fruitfulness? God, are you being able to use me the way that you want me to talk to the lost about the goodness of God? God, how does my life look from your perspective? And allow God to speak in the, for when God responded to the people of Judah, to King Zedekiah and his messengers, this is what he said. This is not encouraging. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them. And that means that there had been people who had been killed, and the only people who had lived had been wounded. He said, those people would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. Many times we look at things with the wrong perspective. They were putting too much emphasis on Egypt and not enough emphasis on God. And Jeremiah came and said, look, the most frail members of the Babylonian army are going to be more than enough to overpower the city. Jeremiah pled with Zedekiah, the king, on how to remedy the situation that he faced, how he was supposed to act. And Zedekiah rejected it, and everything Jeremiah warned him about ended up becoming a reality. We cannot afford to deceive ourselves. Now we have to ask this question: how is it that we can deceive ourselves? Because we need to know what not to do. Okay? And so let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 49. That's getting towards the end of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 49. This is a passage where Jeremiah is prophesying to the nation of Edom. And let me see if I can find it here. Verse number 14. Jeremiah 49, verse number 14. Verse number 7 says this is against Edom. And he says, I have heard a message from the Lord, and an ambassador has been sent to the nations. Gather together, come against her, and rise up to battle. For indeed I will make you small among nations, despised among men. Your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart. O you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold to the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle, I will bring you down from there, says the Lord. Edom also shall be an astonishment. Everybody who goes by it will be astonished and will hiss at the plagues as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord. No one shall remain there, nor shall a son of man dwell in it. So they had a very fortified area. If you look at the area known as Petra, you will find that they built their houses and some very impressive architecture right into the sides of the cliffs. And here God says to Edom that it was your fierceness has deceived you. Your fierceness has deceived you. And so I had to go and look that up. I looked in many different Bible translations and looked up the meaning in the Greek Hebrew lexicon, and the lexicon has it as your fearfulness or your terribleness. Now, I did not even know that terribleness was a word, but it was there, your fearfulness and your terribleness. And, you know, there are people who have a very thuggish mindset in that they think that because they're just more willing to use violence and terrorize people, that they're going to be able to get by with all sorts of stuff. And I want you to know that that is not the case. And people who live by that mindset, those who live by the sword, die by the sword, with that sort of mindset, that can deceive them into thinking that they are invincible, that no one is more powerful than they are. Listen, there's always someone that has a greater skill set than you do. You might be a very large person like Goliath was, but you can be taken down by a David who is more anointed by God. If you're very large, but you're very cumbersome, you can be overtaken by someone with a great deal of speed. There's different skill sets, and you would utilize those skill sets differently. There were people who said, you know what, I'm such a mean person. I instill terror into the hearts of people that I am going to live forever. Some of the other meanings that I found in different translations, for the fear you inspire in others deceives your own heart. I've told you on the radio program before about a person that I worked with in the business realm, and that was the way that they operated from their position of authority, was to instill fear in all of those that were underneath them. I've known people, even in the ministry, that was the way, that was the paradigm from which they operated, that the people around them just quaked in their boots in fear about what this person was going to do. Another translation said, the terror you inspire. Another translation put it something like this, the horror of your idols, the object of the horror of your idols, something like that. And it basically says the fact that you are so horrifically morally challenged, and you do not have any conviction or any hesitation to use brutality against other human beings, that mindset is one of the things that deceives a person's heart. Now, we would like to think that we do not do those sorts of things. That's one of the reasons why I believe we need people who are accountable. You know, I've had a number of people through the years who said, somebody told me that that this was my personality trait, and I was absolutely stunned. I was taken aback by it. And everybody around said, no, their assessment's pretty accurate there. Yeah, yeah. And so sometimes we can blind our own selves. And so it helps to have a friend who is able to, in love, inflict those wounds of truth, not to injure, but to bring us back to reality. You know, I don't ever want to be the type of person that is so insulated and isolated from others that they cannot speak correction into my life. I've had people who've given what I call hit and run prophecies. And when I get those hit and run prophecies, and they're always in written form, they're never verbal, they're never face to face or anything like that. Whenever I get them, I read them, I pray about them, and I ask God, God, is there any truth in this? Because if there's truth, I need to deal with this. And so we cannot allow a ruthless temperament to deceive our hearts. The kingdom of God is known because the disciples of Jesus have love one for another, and we speak the truth in love. There's one more thing here in chapter 49, and it says this: your fierceness has deceived you, the pride of your heart. There is a reason why God hates pride. He opposes the proud. Pride deceives us. It makes us think that we are more important than we actually are. The Bible warns us, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to. Even at my church, this is what I say. Look, Merit Assembly of God can function without me. It can't function without the office manager. I've got an amazing office manager, and no, you can't hire her. She does a remarkable job, a fantastic job, and makes my job with all of the different directions that I go and everything, she makes all of that work seamlessly, and she does it effortlessly, and so I am truly, truly blessed. That's why in Galatians it says that we need to, if we think that we're spiritual and we're in the restoration business, we need to tread carefully so that we don't fall. Let's not deceive ourselves with our own pride, but remember to be humble. God gives grace to the humble. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Promises shatter, answers don't come. Friends say goodbye, plans come undone. Dreams get crushed, lies get told. Words can turn cruel.